Second hour to Aaron Donick and Chase here on this beautiful Tuesday. Third and home. That's where we are. First Horizon Park. Their first home opener in over 600 days here today. They are hosting the Memphis Redbirds. Don't miss the cure for our friend's cystic fibrosis golf tournament. That'll be May 15th. That's 4 days away at 12 Stones Golf Course in Goodlettsville. Some of the teams include retired Titans football players who will be hanging around after the tournament for an after party, which includes catered dinner and live music. Cure for Our Friends Golf Tournament still has a need for a silent auction item. So if you can help out, please do so. For more information, you can be found at acureforourfriends.org. Thanks to Dad's Towing, Mitchell Motors, and Nashville Wrecker Services for being the tournament sponsor for the 2021 Cure for Our Friends Cystic Fibrosis Golf Tournament. We're expected to be joined by David Poyle here in about 5-7 minutes on the program. We'll have a good chat with him, his weekly with us. What a night it was last night at Bridgestone Arena. Pecorine getting the shutout, the Predators getting the shutout, and they take the last two from Carolina after going 0-5-1 against the Hurricanes this season. They get a couple of wins to close out their regular season. And it's pretty interesting. Florida and Tampa were battling. Florida took both of those games. Tampa's been
quite handily.
Yeah, they shut them out last night. They won, I think, what, 5-1?
I mean, both Saturday. Were runaways.
So that's going to be interesting. Is it Tampa's been sputtering down the stretch? You know, are they indeed going to have Kucherov and Stamkos? I don't know. We're about to find out. The way they've played in their last 10 is, what is that, any indication? Florida, they lose Ekblad. They really didn't miss a beat. And I know that's not because, you know, he doesn't mean a ton to them, but they have found a way to continue to patch things and just keep rolling right along. So they're going to have home ice in that series. And then, of course, Carolina and Nashville are going to turn around and play each other too. So it's interesting, those two series to end the regular season, but all four teams are going to suit up, turn around and play each other in round one.
I was just reading J.R. Lynn's account of last night's game, which is excellent. If you want to go to the Nashville scene or check it out, you know, via Twitter, you'll be able to see it. And he pointed out, I hadn't thought about this, but you got in the Central Division, right? You have four teams from the Southeast that are playing each other. That's an interesting geographical bracket, right? So one of the four is going to be in the Final Four. So somebody from the quote non-traditional market will make it. We know there'll be a Canadian team in there. Obviously, there'll be a team out in the West and in the East. So there's going to be like four different sections geographically that eventually will make it to wherever they're going to play these games. I don't know what's going on in Canada, if they'll be able to travel freely for that. I'm not sure if they've decided that. I haven't been looking.
Are they moving to Buffalo too?
I don't know.
I mean, like the rest of Canada?
I don't know.
I mean, I think that has
I don't
been.
Think Vancouver's going to Buffalo. Or, I mean, not Vancouver, but Edmonton, you know, for example. So I don't know. But JR has a fun account of last night that I would recommend reading. But this is something, Darren, this was a question, right? And, you know, Adam Vingan, I give credit all year long for being sort of the guy saying, but what about this? You know, are you really good? Like, you got to be better at this. One thing that was a big theme, early on, the Predators could not beat Carolina, Tampa, and Florida. They were 1-11-1 against those teams the first 13 meetings. 1-11-1. They're 6-5 against them since. So now last night, you know, are there circumstances, all of these things, yeah. But I think it's clear, and this was David Poyle on the day of the trade deadline. Their record wasn't a whole lot better against those teams, right? Now, they ended up 24-7-1 against the bottom teams, including 5-3 against Dallas, which was huge. But he said it on the day that they decided to roll with the guys they had, right, and not sell. He said, I've got a good feeling about this team. We've got to prove that we can play with the top teams. And since then, they've done much, much better, much, much better. It gives you a little more hope about their chances in this series, even though from afar they're going to be a big, big underdog. I don't know if the odds are out or anything like that yet, but there's no question they'll be a big dog.
So are they?
It's almost like David Poyle knows what he's doing or something. It's kind of funny.
Are they going to play all these games all week and start the playoffs as well? I mean, what? I mean, there's so many teams that still are making up games. I mean,
well, Elliot told us last week that what he had heard was the U.S. would start.
I think Vancouver ends in June. They're
right.
Games, so.
But what Elliot had said last week was that the U.S. would start the 15th and Canada could start a few days later.
Hmm. You know, the thing that's helping the league is that it's pretty clear cut out of that division who's going to make it. There's only playing for seeds now. Otherwise,
well, yeah,
you could almost cut it off.
But the Vegas-Colorado thing is not wrapped up.
Well, yeah, but they're going to play. They'll play in the next day or two and finish that up. I think Colorado's got two more games.
So they got two more games in hand against LA.
Right. But you just play those games.
But that's a big. But I'm just saying. I know, but they're not scheduled to finish. Colorado's scheduled to finish on Thursday.
Right. But that's not uncommon that you finish the season. The season, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, usually ends on a Sunday on a normal year, and then the playoffs would start on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So there's usually only a couple days between the end of the regular season and the start of the playoffs. Now, because they finish on Monday, they're going to have a little bit more time. Matt Benning was saying this in an interview on our broadcast last night with Kara Hammer. He said, it's going to be weird because we're used to playing. If we're not playing today, we're playing tomorrow. Or we play three in the next four in the next six. And now you're going to have this gap for both teams. You know, they can rest, they can do some things, but there's also going to be an uncommon, like, oh my gosh, it's been a long time since we played a game, whenever it is that they take the ice, which I wouldn't think. I think somewhere Sunday, Monday would make sense as long as everything falls into place with the rest of the schedule that's got to be played, significant games.
It feels like Sunday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, somewhere in there is kind of when they'll get going. But hopefully we find out something, you know, pretty soon, because I know we all want to know to plan and
ask Adam. Adam Vingan knows, right?
He seems to
every
find
year
out a
he
lot
gets
of things.
Flooded with the tweets. Adam, when is the playoff schedule?
I don't know who's calling me from Laverne, Tennessee, right now, but I'm busy.
It's somebody that wants to know when game one is.
I don't know.
Give him Adam's number. Text him. Say just call Adam.
Adam knows. Wasn't there a sign back in the day of, I can't remember if it was David Clymer or who it was from the Tennessean that had like a giant billboard of their face and it said like so-and-so knows and it was the Tennessean. That's what we need now with the Adam and the Athletic.
Oh, boy.
So looking forward to hearing what David Poile has to say, not only about last night, but knowing that he's got a playoff series to plan for. And I think it'll be a fun series. Because I just, like we were saying earlier, the way this team's playing right now, you know, I'm curious, just out of the big three, which is Carolina, Tampa, Florida, I think do we all agree that Carolina is definitely playing the best? They're probably the best from top to bottom.
I mean, I think you could also make a case for Florida.
Could.
Florida's got to feel pretty good about what they just did to Tampa.
So would you go Carolina, Florida, Tampa if you were ranking?
Yeah, well, because, I mean, Carolina came into this two-game set, what, 9? Well, they had, what, 13? Was it 13 straight games, point streak? 13-game point streak?
Yes.
So, I mean, they're number one, and then probably Florida, too. I mean, Tampa, like I said, I don't know how the – it just depends on who you talk to, right? Everybody's got a different belief. It's kind of like momentum, right? If you talk to enough coaches and players, everybody's got a different belief in momentum. Some players, coaches don't believe in momentum. Some do. What you believe in, that's that proverbial switch, right? Can you flip a switch? Some don't believe in the switch. They believe this is who you are. And some do believe that you can flip the switch. So I don't know. I guess it's who you talk to. I think we've got David Poile. Let's go. Let's bring in the Predators general manager, David Poile. He's on the line with us. David, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. That was a special night last night. Boy, oh boy, that was, as they say in life, things that you just don't expect or spontaneous things like what happened, in the game. And then specifically for Pekka Rinne, that was awesome. Just, I've had a lot of good memories in my time here in Nashville, but that's right near the top. That was a special night for him and our fans. And just, boy, it, It was a tearjerker. It was really emotional.
Were you responsible for writing the script, or who wrote the script last night?
Everybody's wondering what Beck is going to do, and I've told you on the show before, and Beck and I have not talked about this year. I think I know on my side it's purposeful that we haven't, because I want to see what he's thinking after the season, and I'm certainly open-minded to what his thoughts would be, and I thought if he wanted to have the conversation, we would. And even last night, I see him, when he did talk to the media, he doesn't want to close the door. And so, again, it's an unusual situation when you're in the playoffs. And I think, again, if we're going to have any success, I mean, as well as Juice is playing, we're still going to need both of our goaltenders to play. And obviously, as we saw last night, Becca still has games. So, I don't know, just was an awesome experience last night, that's for sure.
That sounds like a shirt you can put in the pro shop. Becca has game.
Becca has game. Yeah.
I like that.
Put that next to We Vibin'.
David, I'm sure you're in your customary spot watching the game. We all know where you usually sit. But just tell us, as it all unfolded, like you said, it was so organic, right? It wasn't like the team put up signs saying, come for Pekka appreciation or anything. Just, you know, it just felt that way, right? But from the moment one, he makes this great save to start the game. Just tell us, as you watched the emotions flow through that building, what that was like for you.
Just a bunch of different levels. Of course, it crossed my mind, honestly, that, you know, would this be Pekka's last game, because it started to be written about and speculated, and a lot of stuff on the social media, and I'm thinking that, no, we're making the playoffs, and he's going to be playing more games for us, and nobody really knows what the future holds. He's the only one that can really decide if it's time or not. Just the game just seemed to build up and build up. I mean, on the ice, we were doing well. We were scoring goals, and then they'd come down, and he'd make a really good save, and every time it was, it was almost like he had a standing ovation, and then people were chanting his name, and it just, you had goosebumps, and then you start getting superstitious. Okay, it felt like we had the game in hand, but now can Pekka get a shutout and all those things? And then we did it, and the game is over, so you're just watching the players go to see him, and I'm not thinking anything else is really going to happen. And, you know, usually when the game is over, there's good applause, and you can start seeing people file out to head home. And, I mean, there was not one person that left that building last night. I mean,
not one.
It was unbelievable. So it just got better and better and better. And I saw his comments too, that he said, okay, guys, let's get off the ice. And then they basically told him to take a victory lap. And I believe that's the first victory lap in Predators history. So if anybody should have gotten that honor, it went to the right person.
I know he has said that, or his agent has said that he still wants to keep playing. So, I mean, do you have any vibe as to, like, how he feels about what that means? You know, keep playing, is that in any role? Or does he have a specific role? Like, it has to be, he still wants to be a starter, or is he okay being a backup? I mean, do you have any vibe whatsoever what that means from his agent?
I don't, and I have not talked to his agent about that. He's from Finland, and obviously I think it'd be very attractive to play in his home country or to play in Europe. We've gone through the passing of the torch, if you will, to Juice, and I think everybody would say this year has worked out really well. And for those people in short memories, Juice got hurt earlier in the season, and Pekka played, was it 9 games in a row, and did very well during that period of time, and then I'll say for the second time, Pekka still got game. And I mean, he's such a great teammate and an unbelievable mentor to Juice. So, the door is certainly very wide open for us. And again, I'm not looking for any conversation in a hurry here, because I want to be playing some more hockey. But I'm wide open to what Pekka might have to say at the end of the year.
When did you know, when did you and your staff, when did you know you were onto something with him? When did you guys get in a room and go, wait a minute, this looks and feels a whole lot different than maybe we thought, you know, at the beginning on draft day. So when did you know that? Do you remember a moment, a time where you guys looked around and said, I think we're on to something with this Pekka guy from Finland?
Well, as we know, the story's been told many times, they get drafted in a round that does not even exist in the
right.
draft anymore. And then the story that gets probably exaggerated more and more that Ray Shiro went over and watched him in warm up and what have you. I think we had a little bit more knowledge of than that. But in any event, he played another year over there and got, you know, in a starting position. Then he comes over to Milwaukee and had 2 years under his belt and was looking just terrific. So I guess if there was a time, it certainly was in Milwaukee where we got to see him under our organization and see his development. What happened in his third year, we were pretty well committed to putting him on our team at that time. And then at training camp, he got beat out by Dan Ellis. It was really close, but Dan Ellis beat him out, and Pekka went back for another year here in Milwaukee, if you can believe that, for three full years in Milwaukee before he came up to play here in Nashville. But as I've told many people, oftentimes we rush players and, you know, get them up here, and they have more struggles than they have do good things, and you kind of hurt their development. I think with Pekka, it's just was a great development curve from, you know, back up in Finland to being a starter to coming over to Milwaukee to earn his stripes, and then playing three full years there to, you know, finally becoming a regular than a starter here in Nashville. And I'm sure if we sat down and talked to him, he would say that all of that just, you know, continued to give him confidence and to make him a better goaltender all along. So, I mean, it's one of the best stories that we have to tell in our organization to any younger kids that are coming in. So, great story. Great win last night.
Thank goodness for the eighth round back in 2004.
Yeah.
I'm glad they didn't switch it. Yeah.
How tough is Rocco Grimaldi going to make things for you guys on figuring out whether he can crack this lineup or not?
Yeah, we got a lot of tough decisions. I mean, you saw last night when we sat out some players to play some other guys. I mean, that's one of the things that you know, we really have got going for us in this crazy season is that we've developed a lot of depth and a lot of players that maybe were not considered guys that could play regular a couple of months ago that can play regular now. I mean, it's not only Rocco, but it's you know, guys that have been in and out of the lineup from, you know, say Richardson or Cousins or, you know, Tolvanen wasn't always playing in a regular, you know, position going way back. Olivier wasn't playing in a regular position. People like Hanners, you know, are new to the team. You know, on defense, you got, we traded for Gabranson. He's played well for us, but he's, you know, he set out one game. You saw a young player like, David Ferentz played last night. I thought he played terrific for his second game in the league. So I think when we go into playoffs, we have to have the mindset that we're going to play hard every night and that we're a deep team and that, you know, we could be making roster moves, changes every game to suit the matchups that we want or to change things around. So, yes, I think we have some tough decisions, and Rocco played really well. I think Rocco fits good against Carolina because of his speed and his killed penalties last night. So, again, it's going to be important to, for sure who our lineup is in game one, but I'd like to think that this is going to be a long series, and I think that there's going to be a lot of players that we choose to play on different nights based on how we want to change things up. So, big decisions ahead. We got John Hines has got 6 days to make those because it looks right now, without it being official, that we're probably going to open up on Monday, by what I understand. But that's don't take that to the bank just yet. But I think that's going to be the day.
David Poile with us, general manager for the Nashville Predators. We're always looking for clues on that because everybody wants to make their schedule of when this game one is going to start. But David, let's wind the clock back a little further. You had a press conference on the day of the trading deadline. You had traded for Eric Gudbranson, and there was a lot of, you know, speculation, wonder in the weeks leading up. As the team started to play well, you know, what would you do? But you said on that day you really believed you saw something pretty special developing. And there were not everybody bought in at the time. They were like, is he sure? And one thing you said is this team now has to prove that they are a playoff team, and to do that, they've got to play better against the top three teams. And that has happened. It's not like you guys have dominated the top teams, but you have had some success against the top three. It's got to feel pretty good for you to be rewarded with how the team has responded with the opportunity that they were given.
Yeah, it's been as difficult as the first half of the season was. The second half has been really a lot of fun. It's been tight every game, but we've been coming out on the good side. I mean, I think we finished 27-1, something like that. It's just it's straight up with the top teams in the league. So I really feel good about that. And as far as the trading deadline and not making a lot of moves, I mean, again, giving Juice a better team to play in front of, what has that done for him and the record that he has? Say Alex Carrier playing with, for the most part, with Matthias Ekholm. What's that done for him and his development? Tolvanen playing with Joey and Philip Forsberg. Tanner Janot getting into the lineup playing with Colton Sissons. Luke Cunningham, who's played really well late, playing with him, Michael Granlund. I'm saying that because there's all those names where guys that were speculated that might be traded. So all in all, I think it's worked out, really good. And as I said at the time, not only for today, but I think we're a little bit clearer on our future, which seemed to be a little murky at least halfway through the year.
David, let's go even back further. In the offseason last year, you guys said you wanted to be a little different. You wanted to change the identity, create a little bit more of a toughness. You said, okay, a little less skill, a little more will. And it took a while, right? I think John would be the first to tell everybody that it didn't fall into place right at the start. They had some hardships. For example, you just mentioned Mikael Granlund. He was stuck in Finland for the immigration for a long time. There was quarantine issues. There were a lot of things that maybe slowed the process. But how happy are you with your coaching staff and the group for sort of, it didn't happen overnight, but this was kind of the vision you had, wasn't it, when you retooled the roster some?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, just as you correctly pointed out, there were so many things that were difficult at the beginning of the season or, whatever could go wrong seemed to go wrong. But the coaches have done a fabulous job in terms of bringing it all together and, getting everybody, playing the way that we need to play winning hockey. I mean, as I said a few times, I mean, the pinnacle of our franchise, of course, was in 17 when we went to the finals. 18 was a terrific year when, we went to the President's Trophy, but we didn't do well in the playoffs. And, since then, we've been okay, but not great. I think it's playing a different team, different players, resetting expectations for everybody. The fans, our players, et cetera, et cetera. It's not as much talking about the winning the Stanley Cup as much as it was about playing a certain way as a team and fighting to get into the playoffs, which we've accomplished. And now that we're in the playoffs, there's only one thing I know for sure is that there's not anybody that has any clue who's going to win the Stanley Cup. You might think who, and you might bet on somebody, but I guarantee you nobody knows. And all I know is we're one of 16 teams. So coaching staff did a great job while the players, really got their act together, if you will, and got back to playing what it takes to play winning hockey. And again, as you can see, regardless of who's in the lineup right now, we have a lot of confidence in the style of game that we play and that we can sustain an injury here or there, a lot of different things. So I like where we've come in the second half of the season for sure, and I'm really looking forward to playing Carolina, who's arguably one of the two or three best teams in the league this season. It's a real tough matchup for us in a lot of ways. Statistically, the goals they score, the power play, their penalty killing, a lot of different things. But I like the way we're playing right now. So we're gonna show up in Carolina for the first game, see what happens.
We're talking to Predators General Manager David Poile, who joins us every Tuesday at 11:15 here on Darren Donick and Chase. And David, I know you're biased, we're all biased, but watching what John Hines has done, especially in the second half of the season, how deserving in your mind do you think he is of some Jack Adams Awards votes?
Well, it's again, a little prejudice there, of course. I think he deserves a lot because it's based on a season-long award, and nobody has come from as far off the pace as we have. Nobody's had as many injuries. Nobody's used as many players. Nobody's used as many rookies. I know other teams have had it difficult too with this COVID and the pandemic, but if we had to compare apples to apples, I think our coaching staff has done as good a job, and John, as the head coach, has really found his place in our organization, found his place with our players, and I think the buy-in has been is kind of proof of the pudding in terms of how we've played in the second half of the season. So Pierre LeBrun sort of did a survey of one of those anonymous polls on who should be the coach of the year, and I think it was won by Rob Brendamore, who happens to be our competition, and they don't believe that John got any votes, and that's kind of disappointing to me. So let's continue this in the playoffs, and we can maybe change that narrative, because he's very deserving of some consideration based on the job he did this year for the Predators.
Back to something on Pekka for a second. Whenever you talk about the Predators, obviously the top players are going to come to the forefront. Your name is going to come up. The head coach's name is going to come up. This team has had three head coaches in its history, but only two goalie coaches, and Mitch Korn and Ben Vanderklok. How important has Benny been to Pekka, to Juice, for their continued development? And I know Pekka always has kind words to say about Mitch and Benny, but just your thoughts on what he's done for Pekka and for Juice these last few years.
Well, that's very good of you to point that out, because as a goalie coach, sometimes you're kind of behind the scenes a little bit. But if you look back from day one, starting with Mitch Korn, I mean, if you were to probably pick one thing that has been maybe our calling card, it could be our goaltending. It's been really good almost our whole franchise, and Mitch led the way there, and then Ben has been a disciple of Mitch's and worked for us in our minor leagues and our development, and he's grown into a great goalie coach himself too. And Ben's got a great way about him, and he's got a great rapport with Juice and Pekka, and again, it's a little bit of an unsung hero, so I'm really glad that you brought that up, so that we can give Ben Vanderklok some kudos, because you can't believe all the work that they do in preparation and film and all these things. It's almost like they talk a different language than any of us in terms of goalie speak, and how they can pick apart the opposition's goalies and where their strengths or weaknesses are and what to look for on shooters and all these other things. And another area this year that we've improved a lot in has been the shootout. And that's all Benny in preparation with the other teams, like who would the shooters be, where would they try to score, and vice versa. What would be the opportunities or the best places to try to score on the opposition's goaltender? So, again, without the great goaltender we've had for Pekka and especially Juice in this run this year, I mean, we're not in the playoffs. So hats off to Ben Vanderklok for sure. Great job.
Last thing, David, you talked about the turnaround, that nobody's had a better turnaround this season. What do you think? I know I'm asking you to put your finger on one thing, but if you could just say one thing, what do you think was the reason for the turnaround? I mean, it was a tale of two halves this 56-game season. 11-16-1 in the first half, and then 27-1. What do you think? What do you think was the reason for the turnaround? Where would you start with that?
In the 15 seconds that you're asking me the question, I'm really trying to think hard. But one thing, it's too easy. It's not one thing. There was many, many things that were wrong. And now there's many, many things that are right. It wasn't just one thing. It's many things. Of course, it's Juice and it's goaltending. Of course, it's the some of the younger players that we brought in. It's the identity that the herd line gave us. It was Tolvanen getting in there and the power play getting better. It was the penalty killing that was the worst in the league, improving quite a bit. It was on and on and on. So it's as much as we'd like in this society to have that instant thing, it's a bunch of things. It's the coaching, the improvement, the style of play, what it's going to take. It's many, many things, but we got it to this point. We're in the playoffs, and like I say, I'm really excited to see what we can do against a very good team in Carolina. But I just like the way our guys are, the compete level that they give every night. So hope springs eternal.
Sounds like a teamwork makes the dream work. That's what that sounded like. David, thank you so much. And we are looking forward to seeing when the schedule will come out and get this thing cranked up for round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Thanks for the visit, as always.
Okay, guys. See you next week. Bye-bye.
All right. That is David Poile, Predators general manager, every Tuesday at 11:15. We'll continue on. More on the other side here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. We are live here at 3rd and Home, First Horizon Park. Sounds have their home opener tonight against the Memphis Redbirds. First pitch at 6:35. Pregame at 6:20. Everything heard on 94.9. We'll come back. More on the other side, ESPN 102.5, the game.
Everybody's wondering what Beck is going to do, and I've told you on the show before, and Beck and I have not talked about this year. I think it's, I know on my side it's purposeful that we haven't, because I want to see what he's thinking after the season, and I'm certainly open-minded to what his thoughts would be, and I thought if he wanted to have the conversation, we would, and even last night I see in when he did talk to the media, he doesn't want to close the door. And so, and again, it's an unusual situation when you're in the playoffs. And I think, again, if we're going to have any success, I mean, as well as Juice is playing, we're still going to need both of our goaltenders to play. And obviously, as we saw last night, Becca still has games.
David Poile here on this show, Darren, Donick, and Chase. By the way, Thomas Vokoun will join us at high noon. Looking forward to him and talking to him and getting his reaction. Pretty special night last night at Bridgestone Arena. So, Willie, we were all talking about this during the break. So I guess I'll just start with you, since you seem to be the first one to jump out at something, or something jumped out at you when David Poile said the door is open.
Right. I think I was impressed with David Poile this week. Last week when we were talking about this, it just seemed like he was really carefully choosing his words. Wasn't quite as, you know, decisive as he was today. I loved how he answered the questions today. You know, it seemed like, you know, he was just full admiration, which we always knew that they had, but you know, when he said the door is open, I just think that leaves no doubt that the door is open for Pecorino to come back next year and back up, which is, like I said, that's my selfish vision, right? As a guy that loves that guy, like everybody does, we want more, right? We're selfish. We don't want this to end. We don't want that to be the end. But and as you said, Darren, he's got options. And David Poile said, you know, it will be an option for him to go back to Europe. He can do that. But I think that is really what we're looking at here, is there will be an option for David Poile for Pecorino to sign as the backup next year. That job is open.
Sure.
Or that job, and he's the guy they want for that job.
Right.
Did you have doubts before hearing that from him? Because I did not.
I didn't, but I never heard them say that
right
publicly.
But
there was a time early in the season where Pecorino's numbers didn't look very good. Now, the team as a whole was struggling in front of him, right?
Well, Juuse's numbers didn't look very good either.
Right.
Well, but I think there was a time where Saros started, you know, this season's had a lot of twists and turns.
Well, this is the 11-16-1 patch. I mean, that's where everything looked really, really bleak.
Right. And the long story short is that I think any doubt that Pecorino could be the backup – I'm telling you the numbers in the down the stretch. Now, this is what, again, gives me even more conviction. Like, it's the perfect fit. At age 39, I don't think your goal, you know, you don't want an age, I mean, unless you're superhuman like Marc-Andre Fleury. Now, is Pekka superhuman? Maybe. You know, he's a special guy, as we know. But I think it's just ideal for him to play, I don't know what the number of games. It could range from 25 to 45. But I think he could be, you know, if there's a stretch where he needs to play 9 or 10 in a row, I think he can still do that. You know he's going to keep himself in great shape. I think the key is, what's the price? And what's the price for Juuse Saros? They've got to sign him as well. He's a restricted free agent. Mm-hmm. But they've got to come to a number because, you know, that's your budget. You only have a certain amount. You've got Grandland, you've got Forsberg, you've got Ekholm, you've got all these guys that you want to try to figure out what you got. So it's a piece to a big puzzle.
I think what's interesting is everybody kind of has their own takes, right? Because none of us know. You just have your own feelings, your own gut feelings, your own takes. And I kind of feel like, but this is the way I look at it. Like, one, I've said without a doubt, without any hesitation, for a good while since we've been talking about this, he was never going to play for another team. All that stuff that was thrown out, like, I never, ever said, I never even had a hesitation that he would ever suit up and put on another jersey in the NHL.
He will not be a member of the Kraken.
No,
he will not be a member of
anywhere. That is there's no doubt. Like, I would go down with the ship. I mean, it would be a Titanic, hand on the wheel. I'm going to the bottom of the ocean with the ship. I'm not getting off. I'd have to see that to believe it. That's how I felt about that. That notion, that storyline that's been out there for a little bit, there's no way. I would be wrong. If that happened, I'd just raise my hand and say, I was wrong. There was no way you could convince me otherwise until I saw it, right? And I still believe that way. So that one to me, like, that card is over here. It's on this table. It's separate. And I still don't believe it. And I don't think there's any scenario that will play out where he's playing for another team other than the Predators. No way. No way, no how. The other scenario is what you just brought up. Like, it's never been to me about whether David Poile and the Predators would want him back as a backup. This is just my opinion. It's never really – and I realize there is a business side. And, yes, if Pekka says, I need $6 million to be the backup, then we all know. Like, okay – then, you know, David Poile's
going to
like,
feel like
yeah,
he's
we
gonna
can
do that, though.
And right. And I know that's not right. Knowing what we know,
this
like,
feels like Mike
David
Fisher.
Poile's not going to do that. And Pekka would not do that. So we know both sides. And I don't think this is going to be a squabble over money.
No.
So therefore, I kind of eliminate that because that is part of the business and it would factor in if there was that issue. But I just don't see that being an issue. I don't see that on his side. Pekka side with his agent, and I don't see it on David Poile's side. So I don't see a squabble over money. I don't see them going, no, wait a minute, that price tag, it's not about the price. So now take that out of the equation. So now the part to me that has been the sticking point, and Willie, I kind of felt, and I don't know if you've changed, but I kind of felt like there for a good while when we had these discussions, and I guess you still feel the same way today, that you have felt like Pekka is just is totally comfortable in his role and he's fine being the backup. And I have said that has been my sticking point. Like, I'm just not ready to say that. Without knowing for sure, I just don't know how someone with his competitive juices and the way he's wired, like a lot of professional athletes, how he just woke up and just said, yeah, okay. I just have. Yes, he's going to say all the right things, but that doesn't mean privately that's how he feels. And my gut feeling, is I've said I'm just not so sure he really wants to be a backup. He's never going to say it out loud, but I'm just not so sure privately he does want to be a backup. How do you just turn that part of you off and just say, yeah, I'm cool? Like, last night was his first start in a month. In a month.
Right.
Not because he was hurt, because
and
he's
not
just
because he was playing bad.
Just no, just because he was sitting and watching because that's his new role.
But also because the guy that has been playing off the charts. Unbelievable.
But I'm just
saying, the hot hand.
I think you still feel that way, and I'm going to say I don't. Like, to me, this is about is Pekka okay being the backup, and I feel like. I don't think he's just so accepting of that role. So, therefore, I think he still wants to be an everyday player.
Right. In Europe?
In Europe, yeah.
Okay. That's the choice.
This is my counter to that. I think you are right for if the goaltender's name was Tom Smith or Carey Price or Marc-Andre Fleury, I think you are 100% right. Any other goaltender, I think, yeah. But I think UC Saros is different. I just think it is. And I think that it's not that he necessarily says, yes, I want to be.
Are you saying because of the relationship?
Yes. I think he's more willing to take this new role that he has been in because it's to his his little brother, however you want to put it. I just think that their relationship is one that is a little bit bigger than everything else that we're talking about.
I agree with you. I think that helps him cope with the situation that he is in. But I think if Pekka was hooked up to a machine, I think the machine would tell us he's going to say all the right things, and that relationship, like I said, helps him cope in the position that he's been in for the second half of the season. But I do think that ultimately he still wants to be a starting goaltender.
Well, if the machine didn't tell you that, wouldn't you be concerned? Of course you want him to think that way.
Well, like not if he's saying this is where I'm at because of my age and because it's time for UC. No, he doesn't have to think that way. He could say, I'm fine. I mean, there's starting quarterbacks in the league. You either can make that transition and say, okay, now I'll be the backup and I'll hold a clipboard, and when the time is right. Neil O'Donnell was that here. Neil O'Donnell was at one point, he signed the biggest contract in the NFL when he went to the Jets. He led the Steelers to the Super Bowl. That's all he knew is how to be a starting quarterback in the league, and yet he had to accept if he was going to continue that he was going to be the backup, and some do, some don't. I suspect Alex Smith could be on somebody's sidelines this year as a backup without a doubt. Who knows, maybe here. But it seems to me that Alex Smith has said, yeah, you know what, I got back. I proved to everybody I could play again. I don't want to be a backup holding a clipboard. That's it.
Yeah,
I'm
but
done.
Neil was.
I'm not a starter anymore.
But at the time that Neil O'Donnell was signed here and Floyd signed him, yes, Steve McNair was the starter, but Steve McNair had not become the guy yet. And there was still, I think, a little bit of uncertainty of can he truly be the guy? And so I always looked at Neil O'Donnell as the backup, but more of an insurance policy, too.
I think Steve.
Similar to what Steve happened with Tannehill and Mariota.
No, Steve was the starter. He just got hurt.
Right. And so all of those things.
And he had been the starter.
No, the doubt was with the fan base. It wasn't with the organization.
Right.
Like, Floyd had no doubts. Like, you're painting the picture that's how Floyd and the Titans felt, and that's not true. That's how the fan base felt.
But Steve hadn't become the guy.
No, Steve McNair was the guy.
He had been the starter for 2 years.
Let me tell you something. He was the guy. You're wrong.
Remember, Dave Craig had backed him up.
The Titans and Floyd Reese, he was without a doubt the guy.
Okay, but
fan base had not accepted him as the guy. Neil O'Donnell didn't come in here because Floyd and the Titans weren't sure that Steve was the guy. They knew he was the guy. Neil O'Donnell was coming in here to be a
level. He hadn't gotten to the level.
Doesn't matter. In their minds, he was the guy. It didn't matter. Neil O'Donnell wasn't coming in here to be the starter. He wasn't in here to battle him in camp.
But you disagree that he was an insurance policy because of the injuries?
Right, but you just painted the picture that the Titans weren't sure that Steve was
the
guy,
so they
brought him in here to challenge him to be the guy, and I'm telling you, that wasn't the case.
Well, when I say the guy, I mean I factor in performance, injury, all those things, and the doubt was the injury, so that therefore
No, that's not what you said. No, you said he wasn't the guy.
No,
yet.
I know what I said.
And I said he was the guy. He was the guy.
Okay.
Neil O'Donnell was brought in to be a great backup. Great insurance
policy.
Well,
I think what you're saying is
insurance policy.
Yes,
that's what I meant.
He hadn't reached
his
height.
Insurance
right, but he wasn't here to push for the job.
I never said he was here to push for the job. I said he was here to be the insurance policy. That's what I'm saying.
Right, but you also said he wasn't the guy.
Right.
Like they didn't know if he was the guy. And
that
he was the guy.
He had not reached his heights. Yeah.
Understandable, but that's not the way they felt about him behind the
scenes.
Right,
they had no doubt that he would, but he just hadn't reached it yet.
Like, the fan base, yes.
No doubt.
The fan base was very unsure.
Right.
Well,
no doubt.
There were reasons for that. And
I understand.
It's not necessarily good reasons.
Well, and I'm not going down that road.
But that's not true with all of them. Like, you can't paint everybody in a picture because, to what we just said, he had not exploded yet. He had not made everybody feel really, really good about him being the every week starter.
So my point in all that is UC Soros has made everybody – team, fans, whatever, players feel good about being the everyday starter. But knowing this position and knowing how physical this league can be, knowing that he got hurt this year, I think that having an insurance policy like Pecorino certainly is what everybody would sign up for. To your point about Pekka still being a competitor and wanting to be a starter, I think that is very much 100% true. But I think he's more willing to take the insurance policy backup role to UC than he would be anyone else.
I think there's a
because
lot of
because you get
truth
to live in Nashville, too. I mean,
Nashville, but really the UC Soros relationship, there's no doubt.
I think he enjoys playing with him. I do. I think they. I
well, you don't know any different.
But how do you balance
you know?
That? But how do you balance
and
that?
I think you're absolutely right,
you know?
Chase.
Because here's the best example I could come up with, and I don't know if it's going to work or not, but here goes. Okay? This relationship you have on this show. But, Chase, we really need you to just kind of be a talking producer. But you really like us, and you love being a part of this.
I've had that conversation before.
I know you have.
But Chase isn't at the end of his rope.
Right.
Chase is up and coming. He's younger than
fair.
Us.
That's fair. That's why, I said I'm talking out loud. I didn't say it was going to be a great example. Like, you're very comfortable. The relationships, everything is perfect. But you're not you're not in a starting role, so to speak, right?
Right.
I know. I'm trying to weave it in there.
I know what you're saying.
But Willie's ultimately got the trump card. Like, if you were 69.
Why are you saying 69?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because Pekka won his 369th game.
I don't
think
that's maybe.
Okay.
Very nice. Totally.
1969 was a great year.
Mets, okay. Miracle Mets. Yeah.
Mets. That you would have to say, I love this, but. But I'm not.
But I know I can do more.
But I'm not in a starting role.
And that's the sure. That is where the
but
comparison comes
this?
In. I don't
what
know. There's
okay.
a lot
what
of
is this thing flying?
There's a lot of fuzzy right. things flying
we
around.
We got fuzz. It's from a tree.
Maybe it's warm and fuzzy feelings flying around. I don't know.
All right, but Darren, what here's what's wrong. Things? Here's another thing that's wrong with your proposal. Okay. All right, so your choices for Chase in this. He's 69 years old. Is you stay with a top level show. Or you take the lead role, but it's at a different, it's a smaller level show. It's a smaller station or whatever. Wherever,
you go whatever. From the Yankees to the Marlins.
No, you're not even in the same league. I'm saying you're not going to the Marlins. The Marlins are in the major leagues.
You're going to the Marlins.
The choices for Pecorine will be back up for the Predators, go somewhere else in the NHL, which we don't think he wants to do, or go to a different league, which is not major
league.
Yeah,
but the different league is not KHL. Okay,
he's not going to the KHL.
He's not going to Norway. He would be going back to his hometown.
But it's not the NHL.
That's home, but that's home.
It's not the NHL.
I understand that.
He can still play in the NHL. I just think a competitor like him will want to play in the top league, ultimately. It'll be nice to go someday. He could go back to that league, but he can still play in the NHL.
But you're saying with the Predators. Like, I still
as
don't
backup,
think he goes anywhere
as a backup.
Else.
Well, that's up to him. I mean, he's got the choice there. Like, he could explore that if he really wants what you're saying, he wants to start.
Nah. I don't see that. I really don't
think
I really
will.
Don't, Willie.
And he said that he wants to retire.
I just can't imagine. Honestly, it's not that bad. Like, I think if those are the choices, starter in the NHL for another team or home, it's home all day.
There's
it's
no place like home.
Yes.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
That was at the Grove on Thursday.
That was good.
Willie, we need to talk to Vokoon. Yes. So why don't you tell everybody about Loan Pronto?
All right. Let's tell you about Loan Pronto. Loan Pronto is a great sponsor of ours now. They have streamlined the whole refi business. And I'm telling you, it is very, very convenient for you. Plus, if you're one of those people that has never paid any attention when you hear commercials like these, take the moment to make the phone call and just learn about it because it's going to save you a lot of money. If I just told you, you might be in a position to save a few hundred dollars every month just by paying less on your mortgage, you owe it to yourself to make the call. 615-499-5780 for Loan Pronto. 615-499-5780. Or if you've done it before, and you're like, Willie, I know about this, but it's such a pain. It takes forever. No, Loan Pronto has changed the game. They're new, they're fast, they're easier, less expensive, and you're going to get that home loan or refinance your current mortgage. It's outstanding. Lower rates, all digital process, streamlined with no junk fees. 615-499-5780 for Loan Pronto. you can do anything that you want with that money. It might just be to lower your payment. But if you do need to take out some money to reinvest in your home for a home improvement project or maybe wiping out some debt like credit card debt, you can do that as well. That's available to you. Make the call, 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com and ask about their zero-cost refi. The zero-cost refi, 499-5780, equal housing lender.
NMLS 1661781, subject to lender approval. No cash refi, not available on all loans.